You're listening to Underground History, a collaboration between Jefferson Public Radio and the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, or SULA. I'm your host, Chelsea Rose, and each episode we take a deep dive into little-known aspects of history in Oregon and beyond. Today I'm joined by Kim Moreland of the Oregon Black Pioneers to discuss Black history makers and her efforts to document the places they lived, worked, played, and worshipped across the state. Kim, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk a little bit. You recently participated in and were one of the leads in the creation of a multiple property document and historical context that commemorated Black history in Oregon. And this followed one that was done just for Portland. And you worked to inventory and document Black heritage from across the state. And can you start by telling us a little bit about how you and your team were able to tackle such a huge undertaking? This must have been so much research.
You know, it was a lot of research and a lot of new research because we really didn't have a lot of anchor documents, like the cornerstone of community, which highlighted several African-American sites in Portland. We didn't really have that kind of baseline document to follow.
You had to start from scratch.
Yeah, so we're pretty much starting from scratch, looking at a lot of primary sources. But it was a lot of fun, though. We struggled a lot about whether it should be in a chronological order or a thematic order. But we had community outreach where we kind of shared our research, and the Oregon Black Pioneers kind of led that piece of it. And myself and Chris Rouge, we kind of tackled the narrative, and as well as Liz Carter and Ann Craig. And we really relied on existing documents, and it was very piecemealed because we didn't really have that source that had kind of an overview of Black history.
Yeah, there's no book that was like the history of Black Oregonians. You had to like go to census records, newspapers.
Yes.
What other kind of documents or archival materials were critical?
Historic newspapers were very critical. We also relied a lot on Peculiar Paradise, which probably come close to one of those anchor documents that kind of looked beyond Portland history. That was a wonderful guide. A lot of trips to the library, and so you had the archives was an amazing source of information. We just relied on, you know, other sources like you mentioned before, the census data, previously published documents that kind of had an overview of Oregon's history, but had a mention of a Black pioneer.
So
we had to kind of extract that history and and put it in context to what we were doing. And that's also oftentimes, you know, you have a journal that mentions African-American, and then we kind of follow up and do more research on that.
Yeah, and the result is you created one of those anchor documents. So the next round of scholars can use that to reference, which is going to be exciting. But I wanted to say, you know, in reading this document, it's clear and should not be surprising to anyone that Black history is Oregon history, full stop. And I'd imagine that, you know, most places in the state, a lot of these communities had these stories, but you had to kind of reverse engineer them. Like you say, you find a clue and then kind of backtrack to figure out more. But can you tell us a little bit about the importance of recentering these stories, like finding them and highlighting them, both to recognize the contributions of early Oregonians, but also for the modern communities where they're placed?
I think that's a great question. And I love how you say re-engineering and kind of recentering. Because oftentimes, because Oregon's Black population is so small, you don't think they have much history in Oregon. But it's quite the contrary. You know, we have rich heritage from the very beginning, before Oregon became a state. We were always there and involved in major events and incidents in Oregon's history. So I think it's really helped understand, too, the settlement and the migration of African Americans in Oregon. Like, who knew that Jacksonville would have the largest Black population in the early 1900s. And so we're evidence of African-American life is everywhere in Oregon. We really thrived in rural Oregon Maryland Valley, and Portland. It's really exciting to hear about these stories of African Americans who lived outside of Portland.
Yeah, and once
I'm not sure I answered your question.
No, but you did. And it reminds me, you know, once you start doing this research, it kind of spirals because other people, you know, are like, oh yeah, and there's this story and this story. And you know, talking about Jacksonville, Zachary Stocks, the director of Oregon Black Pioneers, has been down to talk about Jacksonville as the first Black community in Oregon. And it's so exciting to have that understanding of the place down here so that we can really rethink the way we tell the story of Jacksonville as one of the early cities in the state.
And I love that Zachary and Mariah both share that information with the Jacksonville community. And even when you go into their cemetery, one of their historic cemeteries, I had a chance to tour that once and just see the evidence of several people of color who lived in Jacksonville and was buried there. So it is really exciting to hear these stories about, you know, Blacks in Salem that really could contribute to the development of our state, you know, and it's just really hidden.
Yeah, it's exciting to see it all
but
to come together.
Nonetheless, it was very impactful history and very significant.
That's right. That's
who
right.
We are today.
You're listening to Underground History on the Jefferson Exchange. You can find us online at jeffexchange.org. I'm your host, Chelsea Rose, and today I am speaking with Kim Moreland, and we are talking about the importance of marking and commemorating Black history in Oregon and beyond. So, you know, we've been doing something similar with the Oregon Chinese Diaspora Project, which has definitely been inspired by your efforts. And it's amazing, again, to see how we can document the gaps in the historical record, or we can, recognize that there's gaps in the historical record, and we can really see how Chinese migrants and Chinese Americans were really pigeonholed into these exotic asides in early history books. And now we can see that they were really part of communities across the state and important to the early economies. And so, you know, you spoke a little bit about Jacksonville and the surprise there, but I think it's so cool that this effort really focused on rural parts of the state and all of Oregon, like you said, not just Portland. So were there some other areas where you were surprised to find some history and heritage? I think that there's some stories from Bend and from Burns and, you know, definitely Eastern Oregon. You know, can you tell us a few more that were exciting to come across?
Yes. One was Ashwood, Oregon, which I believe is in Jefferson County. And there was a rancher, a couple who lived up there. And we had an opportunity to go drive to Ashwood to see. We were looking at the home as a way to preserve it and maybe move it to another location. And it was just amazing that a Black couple who were ranchers lived in that area and were so isolated. And that's what I see as a common theme is a lot of African Americans lived in very isolated areas in Oregon, but they became a valued member of the community. But when you look at the document, you do find that history of Black families living in rural parts, like Letitia Carson, who lived in Soap Creek Valley and eventually moved to Douglas County because her land was taken away from her, but she ended up having a homestead in Douglas County. And then you had another Black woman, Rachel Belden Brooks, who lived in Salem, and she ended up having a homestead in the Kaiser area, present-day Kaiser. So she was one of a few African-Americans who had benefited from the land donation claim.
Yeah.
And so you find these, like, amazing stories that kind of defy what we hear about, you know, even though we have Black exclusion law that was very active in 1849 to 1926, African Americans like Letitia Carson and Rachel Belden Brooks were able to receive, you know, land from the federal programs. And so you find these really inspiring stories throughout Oregon's rural area. And so I really encourage people to read the MPD.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe some of the reasons, like, it maybe was a strategy to be kind of like, under the radar, so you're not ending up in, you know, a lot of the historical documents, but maybe that was a deliberate choice by some of these folks who chose to live quiet lives, and, you know, maybe it was a safety thing too.
I really believe that to be true.
Which means that maybe there's a lot more out there to uncover. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, I think have an opportunity to live in peace.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and freedom.
You mentioned one of the accounts about the building, and one of the things that I think is exciting about this multiple property document and the one that we're making on the Chinese Oregonians as well is that you can use archaeology to fill in the gap. So most people, when they think about the National Register of Historic Places, it's historic buildings that they think about, like Jacksonville has all sorts of buildings from 1860s to 1880s. But even if the building is gone, there are, you know, archaeological deposits sometimes. So that can be another way to tell these stories, even if there's not a bunch of a built landscape that survives.
I totally agree. And it happened with us, you know, with every MPD, you always try to nominate a local property. And what this time we amended the Elijah Hannah Gorman house with an archaeological work, and that is kind of a really a great model for, you know, how the archaeologists were able to discover all of these different items on that property to kind of give us more clues about the life of this mom and daughter who came across the Oregon Trail and eventually built a home in 1855 and then expanded the home, I believe, in 1865 or 70. It might be in the 1870s.
But, and that's in Corvallis, right?
Yeah, that's in Corvallis.
Yeah.
And so what I would love to see the same thing happen at the former Vanport site.
Oh, yeah.
To really kind of, you know, some people have already collected items from that site in a travel that exhibit. But it's, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to do some really extensive archaeological work to kind of confirm the existence of that military housing project. And so I think that would be a wonderful opportunity there. And I think archaeology has such a major role in documenting and interpreting, you know, history.
Yeah, it's exciting to see how much more Oregon history is ready to uncover. But just in the last minute we have left, I want to talk a little bit more broadly about the Oregon Black Pioneers, which does fantastic work across the state, including we've spoken about some of the awesome public outreach efforts in our area. But can you let our listeners know some of the ways they can learn more, get involved, support the important work you're doing?
I would love that. The Oregon Black Pioneers was established in 1993 and became, you know, officially incorporated in 1994. We are a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to educate the general public about the history of Black Oregonians and places. And we do that by walking tours, expositions, publications, presentations. So please check out our website at www.oregonblackpioneers.org if you want to learn more about the work we do. And if you would like one of our wonderful staff members to come, we have an executive director named Zachary Stock, our program manager, Mariah Rocker, and our wonderful media person is Belinda Miller. And they would love to work with you to educate your community about your Black history. So please check out our website. We have a list of events that's happening this month, and our staff is all over the state.
Yeah,
doing wonderful work.
Doing great work. And I'll go ahead, I'll be sure to link the multiple property document. I think there's a public version in our show notes.
Yes.
So people can get on there and see one of these anchor documents about Black history in Oregon and all the hard work that you did. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kimberly. That wraps up this round of Underground History on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm your host, Chelsea Rose. Our show producers are Natalie Golay and Charlie Zimmerman. You can find this episode and many more wherever you get your podcasts.